Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Woo-hoo! This is Penn Fraser Jillette in Las Vegas, Nevada, with Michael Godeau sitting across from me. We're going to be talking about what's happening in the world today on Free FM. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. That's PennRadio.com. I got a lot to talk about today. There's this. This wasn't a big news story with a lot of them, but it's this constant thing. It was on AP, but it's this constant thing that everybody talks about. There's a Columbine video game, and that's been out for a while. I think I saw it about a year ago or something on the web, but now it's getting more popular. There's a Columbine video where you go in, and I guess you you play the part of Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris, and you go in and you shoot kids. I guess you're playing the part of the murderers as a that's who you are in the game. That's who you are. And there are parents of the people who died at Columbine, the kids who died at Columbine, who are very, very upset about it. There's nothing really surprising here, except it's really interesting. You know, when Gilbert did the 9/11 joke at the Friars Roast, yep. 2 weeks after 9/11, 2001, he went to a Friars Roast for Hugh Hefner, and he said that he was supposed to fly to L.A., but he couldn't get a plane that didn't stop at the Empire State Building. And there was some booing. And then somebody yelled, too soon, you know. And he moved on and then told the Aristocrats joke and told it as filthy as he possibly could, including all this incest and rape and all sorts of things that a lot of people would be upset by, but that was kind of okay. It was kind of cathartic. I guess when you're scatological, it can be cathartic. And that was kind of all right, you know, that for that night, that was all right. And it really interests me how the Columbine video game, the writer at AP here, seems to be leaning a little bit towards this being wrong. But, you know, as we speak, right down the street on Las Vegas Boulevard at the Bally's, there's a huge show that features on stage the sinking of the Titanic as a musical number. They have big hydraulics and the whole ship goes down, and they have, you know, it's a big song and dance number about the sinking of the Titanic. And we know that you know, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid were two murderers who killed more people than Klebold and Harris, and yet that was Robert Redford and Paul Newman, and they were big heroes, and there they went and did this this whole thing, and that's okay. And it's just really interesting to me, especially someone who has so many friends in New York City and goes to New York City so often. When is there going to be like a 9/11 game, you know? And now, now Oliver Stone has got a 9/11 movie coming out, which is bound to be complete fiction because Oliver Stone does that. I mean, JFK. And I wonder if people are going to claim, you know, say there has to be a disclaimer at the top that says it's fiction. So can you, is it okay? Is it okay? And I mean, I think everybody that listens to this show has enough of a freedom, free FM bend. That, I mean, our phone number is 866-313-FREE. So I can't imagine we're going to find a caller who is going to say, you know, do not have the government ban this. Do not allow this. Have the government come in and make laws that you can't do a game about tragedies. I don't think anybody's going to say that. But morally, you know, it's a really odd thing. You know, the guy who made it, who only refers to himself as Columbine, the creator who identified himself as an email interview only by the name Columbine, said he was inspired to make the game because he was in Colorado at the time of the attack. I was a bullied kid. I didn't fit in, and I was surrounded by a culture of elitism as espoused by our school's athletes. He added that he considered the killers at times very thoughtful, sensitive, and intelligent young men. So this is not just a game about Columbine. It's a game that celebrates the two killers. Here's one of the, I think it's one of the fathers, yeah. Boy, man, how can you even make a statement when you had a kid that was killed at Columbine, and you've got some AP jerk calling you up and going, "What do you think of this game where they come in and shoot your kid?" Anyway, I believe that once you're once your kid dies, your life, if not over, is completely changed forever. I think there's a kind of pain.
Certainly out of whack, yeah.
A kind of pain that's never going to go away. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to talk about it. And his quote is, we live in a culture of death, so it doesn't surprise me that this stuff becomes so commonplace, said Brian Roeber, whose son was killed. It disgusts me. You trivialize the actions of two murderers and the lives of the innocent. Yeah, the game is called, I mean, it's very important when you're doing something like this to put in a plug for what you're talking about. The game is called Super Columbine Massacre RPG. I don't know what the RPG stands for. Do you?
No.
RPG. It's an online game about the 1999 attack. So we're now talking about 7 years. Is that right?
Yeah.
About 7 years. And 7 years we have this game. And yet there is an amount of time. You know, it interests me that the heckle against Gilbert when he was talking about 9/11 and making a joke about 9/11, which is a pretty okay joke. I mean, done in Gilbert's voice. I wanted to get a flight to L.A., but I couldn't find one that didn't stop at the Empire State Building. You know, a fine joke. And it's really interesting to me that people yell too soon. You know, they don't yell shut up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like shut up forever. It's just like too soon. We don't want to deal with this.
Yeah, we're going to do those jokes later is what they're saying.
Exactly. I know they really
it was
are all,
it was professional comics, right? Isn't the Friar's Roast mostly?
But Friar's Roast is, there's a few civilians, but for the most part, everybody there are show folk. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe it was just they were giving Gilbert some career advice. Save the material for later, you know. But Gilbert gets ripped off so quickly by everyone. You know, he does a joke and like 50 other comics are doing instantly that he probably figures he has to get on the tragedies right away. You know, right away, get right in there. And, you know, on our... on the show we did about the Ground Zero building on Bulls Hit, we had Gilbert on to do that joke and to talk about how people just do that more. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know the whole connection between fantasy and reality is so bothersome to me. You know, it's so bothersome that people think that movies or television or video games really affect real life. I mean, that's not what art is supposed to do. Art is supposed to inform on a more emotional level and not supposed to be a call to arms. And I'm very happy that nowhere in this little article on this does it talk about, oh, this could make people grab guns and go out and fight. But the whole culture of death thing troubles me. Now, I'm not going to argue with someone who had his child killed at Columbine, because anything he says is right. You know, anything he says in his grief is correct, and you don't argue with him at all. But it is important to point out that it's not a culture of death that brings this about. Columbine was not showing that our culture has more school violence than ever. I believe, and I don't have these figures at the tip of my fingers, so I will make them up.
Of course.
That's what you always do on, especially on radio, especially on Free FM. 866-313-FREE-3733, where even when the facts are out there, we'll still make them up. I believe by the time Billy the Kid was the age that Klebold and what's the other kid's name? Klebold and Harris. By the time he was the age of Klebold and Harris, he had killed more people than the two of them together at Columbine. Billy the Kid was a bad guy, you know. And now there's like, you know, there were comic books in the 50s that celebrated Billy the Kid. And when he shows up, I mean, Bat Masterson and all those shows in the 50s sure. had these cowboy guys who were based on real characters who were certainly as dangerous and as bad and as evil as any of the people we have nowadays, and yet they become heroes after a certain amount of time. So how much time is it before horrible tragedy becomes video game? When is it okay? When does this video game come out and people go, oh, okay? Because, you know, when I first saw the Bally show with the Titanic sinking,
yeah.
I thought, man, this is in really awful taste. And I looked around and no one else seemed to think that people going to a watery grave while singing was in any way bad taste. We got a phone call you want to take? You're waving
sure.
at
Let's
me.
Talk to Jim on line two. Are you still there, Jim?
Hey, Jim. What's up, man? Hey, Jim.
Well, we gave him a second. I can tell what Jim was calling about. RPG is role-playing games.
Oh, role-playing games. Okay, that's good. That's good. Well, that's... boy, we should know that. You know, that just shows.
A couple of other people said rocket-powered grenades, but I don't think that that's. I don't think that's pertinent to this particular discussion.
Rocket-powered grenades. So you know, that's what I'm really kind of musing about. I mean, if the Columbine game comes out 7 years later, it
right.
gets a story on AP that's pretty much buried in most newspapers. It wasn't in the New York Times, and it wasn't in the Review Journal, which doesn't mean anything, but it wasn't in there. And if that had come out like a week after, didn't they do some sort of game a week after, and it was like big news for a while or something?
No, I don't know. But according to South Park, you need to wait 20 to 25 years before you can do the game. So
when did South – what was that?
Somebody wrote that in. So it's for the AIDS game, you have to wait another 20, 25 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was that quoted on one of their shows?
Apparently it was.
I've seen most of them, and I don't think I saw it.
Well, we're having a big battle online about the role-playing versus rocket-propelled grenades.
Is it rocket-propelled grenades or rocket
Rocket-propelled grenades.
Rocket-propelled grenades. Because the first time you said rocket-powered grenades.
Well, that's the first caller says, rocket-powered grenades.
So
no one's calling to argue the details with you. They're just trying to help you along.
Yeah.
They're helping you along.
Everybody agrees completely.
We actually have a call that wants to argue with you. If you'd like to speak to them. You want to talk?
Sure, I'll talk.
Why not? Let's talk to David on line
three. Someone that wants to argue with you.
Are you there, David?
Hey, David, how you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
Very well, thanks. What's up?
Nothing. I was just, I'm listening, and I'm remembering all these movies that they made, like Bowling for Columbine, Fahrenheit 9/11, both by Michael Moore or whatever. And sometimes something good can come out of it, because Michael Moore got those guns, banned from Walmart or whatever.
Yeah, did he? Did Michael Moore get guns banned from Walmart? And how much good does it do to get guns banned from Walmart? Do you think that guns banned from Walmart stops things like Columbine from happening?
Well, it makes it harder to access.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, isn't that kind of a prior restraint kind of thing? I mean, I'm a big, as you know, freedom guy, big libertarian guy, big non-prior restraints guy. And I really think that the Second Amendment is pretty important, that people should be able to have guns. Are you one of the gun control people that say no guns anywhere?
No, not at all. Guns are okay. It's not guns that kill people. It's people.
I think you can still find people at Walmart.
If Walmart banned people from going in.
He just doesn't want murderers to be able to do one-stop shopping.
Right.
You shouldn't be able to get your groceries and your guns in the same store, apparently.
Maybe put the guns in one store and bullets in another, so you have a cool-off period by the time you're walking from one
toys
to the other.
Toys and guns.
Yeah, but I don't even know how much Michael Moore had to do with that. But you're talking to the wrong guy, because it's very hard. I have a very tough prejudice, and it's very hard for me to think of Michael Moore as doing anything good. You know, I saw the first one, Roger and Me, and didn't care for it very much. And I also saw Fahrenheit 9/11 and did not like it at all. But I did not see Bowling for Columbine. What's that?
I didn't even see Fahrenheit 9/11. I don't know. It wasn't worth it.
Yeah. But you do think that Michael Moore talking about these subjects is might bring some good out of it by gun control. I mean, I guess his point is thanks, David. I guess his point is that just opening some sort of dialogue. And I don't know. That means, where do you draw the line? So is it okay to do Michael Moore doing Bowling for Columbine, which I think had comedy skits in it. I know it had some cartoons in it. Comedy skits, very lighthearted, using the name Columbine. But because he has a liberal agenda, is it then okay? Whereas video games are, the thing is that Michael Moore's movie, no teenagers like Michael Moore movies, I don't think. I think there's one teenager that likes it. It's more for old liberals that like Michael Moore movies. Whereas video games, I think, are pretty much people under 20, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I guess they're skewing a little bit.
Here's I can tell it's for circus clowns because they're trapped on the train all day.
So they play video games.
Yeah, a lot of
they
video
play
games.
Video games all the time. Let's take another call. We got a little bit of time.
Let's talk to Andrew on line one. Are you there, Andrew?
Hey, Andrew, what's up, man?
Hi, Penn. You know, I hate to say this, but I disagree with your statement about the gentleman who lost his child. I know that's a horrific thing, but dispassionate minds do need to step back and sometimes argue with people who have lost somebody in a tragedy.
Well, you know, I think we probably ultimately agree here. What I'm saying is we have to argue the issues. That has to be argued all the time. And I think that the people that have had a tragedy have to have a voice in that. But I have a real trouble. You know, we had Pauly Klass's father on our death penalty show.
Right.
And I tried very hard in dealing with that. And, you know, on Bull's hit, I have to hit pretty hard and be pretty rough. And watching that footage, I didn't find a way I could do that emotionally or morally. So what I tried to do was talk about how emotionally he has the right, and anyone who lost somebody in that kind of tragedy has the right to feel anything they want and express those feelings in that way. But we still have to, and use the word dispassionately, which I think is exactly right, we still have to deal with the intellectual issues. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, I get so angry because sometimes the 9/11 families will mm-hmm. get dragged out, and they'll be pushing for something that I'm just... to me, it's dog and pony stuff. I mean, it's not really, you know, anything that's going to change. And people, you know, the politicians line up behind it because it's the 9/11 families. And
yeah,
it's golden, and they want to, you know, they're going to support it.
Well, when you get to politicians and media, of course they're going to always get behind that kind of stuff. And the other thing is that we seem to be falling into this, I don't know if anything actually gets done on it, but a certain kind of rhetoric that we're not supposed to do anything that hurts anyone's feelings. And
isn't that the truth?
And that is so bothersome to me because, of course, everything hurts. If you have lost someone you love, everything hurts. And people die in every way possible. So the rest of us have to be able to go on without hurting feelings. And, of course, you're careful when you're in the room, but I don't think you can be careful in the media. And the example that I always use is that after my mom and dad died, I was watching an episode of Columbo, and they showed a funeral on Columbo, and it completely ripped me to pieces. That is not Columbo's fault. That's not the fault of the writers, the actors, or the directors. They can't be catering to me. I'm in a time of grief, and I kind of sort of have to watch out for myself. And the problem is when you lose somebody in something as political and huge as 9/11 or something as newsworthy as the Columbine thing, that stuff's going to be everywhere. I don't know how you avoid it, and I think there's a certain point where you just have to say, boy, that was a lot of pain, but we have to discuss the issues, maybe.
Well, I mean, I think it's an extension of the victimization of America. I think just as everybody's a victim, then there becomes a mindset that all those victims therefore have a greater say or greater push, a greater right to decide, you know, what's going to get changed. And now, you know, victims of you know, you can have two or three quote-unquote victims or people who are affected by something, and it'll change an entire law. And the rationale, if you actually sat back and looked at it and said, you know what, it really wasn't that great an issue that we needed to change the entire law.
Yeah, and often the laws are already in place, like all the Megan Law stuff. We have
laws
against all sorts of sexual predators. We have laws against guns,
right.
And yet they have to, when they trot out the victims, you have to do something else. Well, thanks a lot for calling, Andrew. I'm cutting you a little bit short because we have to go to break. So we'll be back after this. It's 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. PennRadio.com. You know, when Mike Jones plays music alone, I can't even snap along with it. It's so fast. I can't even snap my fingers as fast as he can play the piano. That's the Mike Jones playing solo there with the Pendulette theme on penradio@gmail.com. If you want to hear more of Mike Jones playing music, go to penradio, P-E-N-N, radio.com. And there's links there that'll take you right to Jones Jazz. 866-313-FREE-3733. We were talking a bit about this Columbine video game that's out, and I think all of us learned an important lesson today. We learned that RPG means role-playing games,
yep.
Or it can also mean rocket-propelled grenade.
Or
either one of those.
Rec.poker.gambling.
Rec.poker.gambling. Yes. Now, do we get a kickback on that?
Okay.
You know, we mentioned Krispy Kreme donuts, and like they gave us a dozen donuts or something. But if they give us like even like 10% of what they make gambling poker online, we could really, if you, you know, that's the way to get us off the air. For those of you that don't like us, give us that much money, and maybe we would go away. And we've had some few calls. I don't want to turn this, you know.
We should say that it's bullets at Kmart, not rifles at Walmart.
It's bullets at Kmart. I got this little note from Michael Wilson, who did a movie called Michael Moore Hates America, which I was in. And I don't want to turn this into a whole referendum on Michael Moore. Let's wait till his new movie comes out, when he needs all the press in the world to make more money than anyone has ever made in a documentary. And then we'll help him out then. But for right now, Michael Wilson made a beautiful little movie. I think it's probably available on DVD, called Michael Moore Hates America, which is very badly named. It's horribly named. It should be really called Michael and Me or something, because it really is Michael Wilson, who's this really smart, cool guy, trying to get an interview with Michael Moore, exactly as Michael Moore tried to get an interview with Roger Smith, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Tried to get an interview with him. And it's pretty interesting the way he goes from kind of angry, empty-headed conservative to kind of compassionate grown-up, for lack of a better word. It's a pretty sweet movie. And I, in terms of disclosure, I'm in it. I eat Krispy Kreme donuts, and I'm in it. I'm in the movie, but I don't, you know, I'm not really part of the plot. I just kind of pontificate in the middle in an embarrassing way. But Michael Wilson was very kind to put me in there. And he just sends me a one-line Gmail that says, Kmart quit selling 9mm ammunition after Moore showed up. So Michael Moore did get ammunition to stop being sold at Kmart. We didn't know anything about Target. Is that right?
Yeah, we don't know.
Any Gmails? Want to take any calls on this?
Sure. Let's talk to line one. This is Ernesto.
Hey, Ernesto. What's up, man? This is Penn.
Hey, Penn, Michael. Good to talk to you guys again. Hey,
thanks,
I got a stupid question.
Shoot.
How soon before we can make Katrina jokes?
Well, you know, I hate to tell you this, Ernesto, but I've heard several of them.
I was going to say, do you have one?
Well, actually, one of the big Halloween costumes last year was the picture of that looter with the case of Heineken's.
Was that your Halloween costume?
No, it wasn't. I actually went as you.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, my favorite, right after, and this is another thing about tragedy, you know, Siegfried and Roy, or Fischbacher and Horn, as I call them, I've known them for years and years and years. And, of course, when Roy had the horrible, horrible accident and the tiger bit his head off, I was at the hospital, you know. I was, Teller and I were at the hospital. All the magicians were. Lance was there. We were all there. We're all very upset. And as people who do stuff like shoot bullets into each other's faces, an accident on stage, it becomes very, very personal, you know. And Copperfield was very upset. I can't think of a magician that didn't really go through a great deal of changes because of that and were very upset. And yet I was hearing Roy jokes, you know, 3 or 4 days later, and jokes that were really cruel, and jokes that were about sexual orientation, so that I'm not going to repeat them. But I remember the Halloween after that, which was about 6 months later. I was at a Halloween party, you know, one of the kink things in town, and they had a one of the costumes was Roy with a stuffed tiger attached to his neck and blood dripping down. And even though I'm friends with Roy and I love Roy and I think Siegfried and Roy changed magic and are wonderful people, I still laughed at that. So maybe I'm not the one to ask how much time can go by, because even personal stuff. I mean, I think that I was making trying to deal with it in some way, making jokes about death right after people that I loved had died. I remember when a very, very dear friend of mine died, and I was really shook up. And another friend of mine wanted to fly for the funeral and didn't have the cash available. I called up and offered to pay for his plane ticket, and we were crying together on the phone. This is within 48 hours of our friend's death. We were crying together on the phone, really torn to pieces. And after I said that I would pay for his airfare to fly out and see, to be at our friend's service, he paused and said, "You know, he would have wanted me to fly first class." And that kind of that was kind of a release where we laughed. It really showed that living has to go on. And I don't think there's much difference between the classic Irish wake, where people get drunk and eat and celebrate life after someone dies. And I don't think there's much difference between that and doing a video game about a tragedy. I think all parts of just how we get on living life.
If I may just interject a little bit of seriousness,
sure.
I think part of the reason why it's considered, I guess for want of a better word, okay to, you know, make, you know, for, you know, Cameron to make a movie about Titanic and the show in Vegas to sink it on stage, as opposed to, you know, the 9/11 and, you know, and the Columbines, is these were, the Titanic was an accident. You know, yeah, there was human error, of course, but these other two things were horrific acts of violence and evil. And I think there just needs to be a little bit more mourning. I know for myself, I work for the Port Authority in New York, New Jersey. That was our home. My wife and all my in-laws were in the Trade Center that day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 9/11 is a real big, it's a real sticking point in my family.
Well, sticking point is, I think, the
That's not the right word.
Yeah, that's an understatement, certainly, and I certainly feel terrible for that. And I think I agree with you. The fact that it is evil, I think one of the things they're upset about with the Columbine video game is that there is a celebration of villains. But the celebration of villains in our, and I was going to say in our culture, but throughout, as far as I know, all cultures and all art is pretty common. I mean, Lady Macbeth is certainly not a hero. She is a villain, but we spend a lot of time identifying with her and thinking about that. I don't know. I don't know how it feels to identify how good it is to identify with Keybolt and
Harris.
Keybold and Harris. I can never remember the name Harris. Keybold is easier.
It's complex.
Yeah. But thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for calling Ernesto, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the period of mourning or how that gets done, or, you know, when you can make Katrina jokes or whatever. But I do know nothing could have been, you know, personal tragedies. I have found it rather therapeutic to laugh right afterwards. My usual way of dealing with this is I don't think there's any right way or wrong way to experience grief. I think everybody experiences it in a different way. We got time. We can take one more call. Let's take another call.
Okay, let's talk to line three. This is Raymond.
Hey, Raymond, what's up, man? This is Penn.
How you guys doing? First of all, I'm a huge fan. I got all your BS DVDs and whatnot. I listen to you all the time. Huge fan.
Thanks so much, boss.
All right. Well, now I agree with you on the point that you know, a certain amount of mourning, you know, is important, and that you should laugh about it. But the fact these people are making money off of it, you know what I mean? Like your Michael Moore, even your James Cameron, all these guys are making buku bucks, and who in the end is paying for it? But the people that died. So I think maybe, you know, some kind of chunk of change gets thrown their way, or somehow some kind of compensation. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I mean, I just don't know if there's always that feeling. I mean, Happy Jack is big on this, man. He talks about with the flight 93 of the movie, yeah. And he talks about with the Oliver Stone 9/11 movie coming out that he really gets upset when people are making money off something like that. I think I'm going to take kind of a nutty position here and say that when people are paid for art, and I use the term art very loosely, so it'll include, you know, Oliver Stone, I really think that they're being paid for what they do as a director, as an actor, as a writer, that is really a separate thing from the tragedy. I mean, they're not being – the cashing in on the tragedy thing I don't think is a problem for me at all. I think that that when you deal with art, the rough stuff that goes into it, the raw material, is not that important. And I'm not saying, of course, that those aren't horrible issues and so on, but I think that they get paid for something separate than the tragedy. So I think that I'm okay with it. And although I know that makes a lot of people really nervous and really uncomfortable that somebody making money off Columbine or off 9/11, but to me, I'm afraid that doesn't bother me. You know.
Yeah, because there's a lot of controversy as well, but I just feel like that might be where it's all coming from because, you know, a lot of these people, like you said, I mean, you know, I'm Irish, and at the end of it, you know, we all get hammered and everyone has a good time to celebrate the life. So in this case, you know, you might have something like United 93, which is an incredible movie, and it really celebrates those people's lives. But at the same time, you know what I mean, it might be that director's art, but, you know, it's almost like, you know, you can't copyright. You know, you can't do a lot of things. Your art can't be other people's work and other people's things. So the fact that, I don't know, I feel like that's where a lot of the controversy may be coming from, that, you know.
You're talking about a feeling of like a copyright on pain or tragedy or something.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know,
not an actual one, but a philosophical or moral one, right?
Yeah, maybe in that way.
Yeah, well, okay, thanks a lot for calling. I'm going to cut you a little bit short because we have to go to break. This is Penn Jillette. I'm here with Michael Goudeau in Las Vegas, 866-313-3733. If we get enough calls on this, we'll keep going on this. It's interesting to me. Penn Jillette here in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's the Mike Jones Enormous Band playing music in the background. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com, 866-313-FREE, that's 3733. And we still have that call that I was interested in. I thought we were kind of done with the how soon is too soon and dealing with grief with comedy. But we have a call from an EMT guy, right?
Yeah, we have line three.
And
he's still here.
I'm just a sucker for EMT stories. So let's take that call, even though I want to be done with the subject.
Okay.
What's up?
It's Jay on line three.
You
there,
hey, Jay?
Jay?
You there, Jay?
What's up, guys?
Doing very well, thank you, sir. How are you, sir?
Excellent. No, I just wanted to comment on how in EMS and the field of work that I'm in, it's actually hilarious how the people that stay the longest are the ones that, I mean, literally a half hour, 10 minutes after a call where someone's just been killed, unfortunately, we can all joke about the person. And it's not done in a mean or sadistic way, but it's really the only way that the people that can stay in this business long can deal with it.
How long have you been doing it?
About 5 years.
And you're right on the you're the one that actually runs in and sees people who are screwed up before anybody else does, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I'm the one that cuts people out of their car, and I've literally had to pick brain matter out of my boots before, so I'm in the
yeah. Mark. And you find that you go to comedy real quick on that, right?
Yeah. At first, it was hard to deal with it, and then, you know, the people that are in this, it's unfortunate to say, but they get a real jaded sense of humor, and it's only to deal. It's not, you know, like I said, it's not to do anything to disrespect the person that's just passed, but it's the only way to deal with it, because when you've tried to do everything you can do to try to save someone's life, and unfortunately, that all fails. The only thing you can do after that is just laugh about it and try to get over it, you know, and that's really the only way to deal with it for us anyway.
You know, I've always thought that the whole talk about bedside manner and doctors and emergency people's compassion, I always thought that that was just complete and utter jive. I want a doctor who is completely jaded, who doesn't feel anything and just does the right thing. I want a doctor who does everything he can to save me and then laughs his ass off. That's the kind of person I'm looking for, is a person who's dealt with the emotional stuff, because when I'm in trouble – my wife, my family, my friends, they'll be plenty upset. I want the person who's actually has my life in his hands or her hands to be jaded, to have seen this 1,000 times, and to have ways emotionally to deal with it afterwards. So I really couldn't agree with you more, and thanks a lot for calling, and you're a hero. The people that do that work are, I think, some of the most important people we have in our culture. I just really like them. And on a lighter note, I want to get right to this Isaac Hayes thing. As you know, I've had a bone to pick with Isaac Hayes. First of all, he was he quit the show that Trey and Matt do, South Park. He was lucky enough to be on the best show on TV at a time in his life when he couldn't get arrested. And they gave him a break, and then he quits because they do a show about Scientology and says it's because they're intolerant. But when they did the Christian shows and the Jew shows and the AIDS shows and all the other shows that they did, oh, Isaac was there with his paycheck. But as soon as they do Scientology and the hammer of the Thetans comes down on his ass, he all of a sudden quits. Now, Isaac Hayes has had a baby. Congratulations, Isaac. We're thrilled for you. First of all, he's 63 years old, okay? Now, when that woman was having a baby at 63 years yeah. old in England, we had people calling, we had Gmails, we had people in the press.
Yelling.
But a lot of people in the press saying, that's too old, she's too old to raise her kid properly, da-da-da-da. Isaac Hayes, 63 years old, not a goddamn word about this. And more important than that, and I believe this might be a racial thing, okay? My wife named. I had less to say other than my wife. My wife and I named our child Moxie Gillette. Moxie, an American word, a purely American word, meaning chutzpah, which is pretty interesting. I'm doing a show for Americans, and I use a Yiddish word to define an American word. Anyway, it means gutsy. You know, it means won't back down. It means brave. Moxie. It's her first name. Moxie Gillette.
The soda's so bad.
The soda's not a good soda if you're outside of New England. I happen to love the soda. It's also a beverage, Moxie. Purely American word. And her middle name is Crime Fighter because my wife does not think middle names amount to jack because she doesn't have a middle name. Middle names don't matter. Her name is Crime Fighter. Who cares? It's Moxie Gillette. And we got all these fluff. I guess it was Slow News Day. We now call it David Blaine Day. So the CNN and people like that did stories on, stupidest baby names. And how's Moxie going to go to school with a name like Moxie? Isn't that horrible? Why don't they name her Beth? I guess they didn't actually say that. But Beth, to me, is the equivalent of Dave. But now Isaac Hayes, okay, who will make fun of every religion but his own, who quits the guys that do him really well, who also does stupid grammar in his songs. He's a complicated man,
grammar, yeah.
But no one understands him but his woman. It should be, he's a complicated man, therefore, no one understands. He's a complicated man, ergo, no one understands him but his woman. But no, complicated man, but no. He names his kid, now get this, Nana Quojo Hayes. Nana Quojo Hayes. There won't be one article making fun of that name because Isaac Hayes is African-American. And the press has this racist view. Oh, yes, African-Americans can name their kids anything and we don't care. You know, there's always that urban myth going around about, oh, yeah, there was this black woman in the hospital. She named her kid Famale because it was written on the birth certificate. You know, female, that kind of jive and all that kind of stuff that makes me crazy. Not one, I predict, not one comment about the name of the kid being stupid. Okay? Now, the Moxie means chutzpah in Yiddish, and Quojo, Kwadjo, my opinion, too many consonants, that's just me, that means king, okay? No, sorry,
and Nano. Nano means,
Nano means king, which, he's naming his kid after Elvis, which I guess is cool. Nano means king. It also means, really little. No, Nana, okay.
Nana means grandma.
Grandma. Naming his boy grandma. If you're using American, Nana means grandma, king. And what does Quojo mean? What does Quojo mean, and what language is this? Oh, Guyana's Otter region. I don't even know where that is. But it means Boy born on Monday. That's what the name means. Boy born on Monday. Okay? And there won't be one article saying, who, how could Isaac Hayes do that to his kids? How could they possibly do that to the kids? And that is the problem with the white media. The white media is controlled. They did all these stories on how these celebrities name their kids crazy things. If they went to one neighborhood that was not white and suburban and driving these stupid big cars like I have, these white, like, what do I got, a Doctari? What's the name of my car?
Your car? The Planet.
The Planet. What's it called? It's what's that? Denali. Okay. Doctari. Same thing. Denali. Okay. People like me who drive these big, stupid... I was in the car the other day with Moxie. Who can find Moxie? She can crawl into the back. You can't find... No, she's always in a car seat. I'm not some sort of Britney Spears. Put her in a convertible holding onto the top. No. There was... You know, all these white suburban riders think, oh, if you don't name your kid Buffy... Or a Jody, if you don't name him after Family Affair, if you don't name him after that, if you name him after Sly and the Family Stones Family Affair, then all of a sudden, you know, you don't even count. You know, it's crazy, crazy Hollywood people that name their kids stupid stuff like Moxie, but not one goddamn comment about Isaac Hayes naming his kid Grandma Boy Born on Monday. Grandma Boy Born on Monday Hayes. Grandma Boy Born on Monday Hayes. Is that better or worse than Moxie Crime Fighter? But people get no heat for it because Isaac Hayes is African American. They say, oh, and in other news, this is another kind of wrap up. This is the end of the show, the kind of pen wrap up. Paul McCartney's wife, what's her name, Mills?
Hopalong
McCartney, his wife Hopalong has divorced him, and the reason given, and I'm not making this up, believe me, I'm not making this up, the reason given was she was repulsed by his bad word usage in Live or Let Die. I mean, it's not
really?
It's not what it actually said
in the
papers.
Court documents.
The court documents,
irreconcilable languages.
I'm reading between the lines. She looked at him and said, "Wait a minute, you're the cute beetle, and now you're 110." No, she said. She looked at him and said, "You know," she said, "I'm Hopalong." He said, "Hopalong, please live the rest of your life with me." Or maybe she was out and they were protesting the clubbing baby
yes.
seals.
She decided she liked it. Yeah.
She liked it. She
had
the
fun.
She had the wooden leg there. She has a club she carries with her all the time. So she is left in if this ever-changing world in which we live in. So the problem was, you know, she
has
one leg.
Ever-changing world in which she lives in.
she's got one leg. So no matter how good Paul McCartney's songs were, she couldn't dance to them. That was her complaint. She wanted him to write songs that were in one time. She just hop on the one foot around.
Maybe she's a pirate.
Was a pirate.
She's a pirate. She got into it for the money. She's a pirate. She has one wooden leg.
And didn't you say there's a town in Florida that celebrates the pirate attack and
yes,
killing people?
Yeah. Speaking of just crazy, pirates come ashore in Florida and kill everyone. It's a big celebration now.
So congratulations to former South Park star Isaac Hayes and his wife, Adjoa. They're parents of a baby boy and just a few days old. And I don't care what they called their baby boy or how old Isaac Hayes is or how bad his writing is. Although I always want to say, whenever I make fun of he's a complicated man but no one understands him but his woman, I always want to add in there that Shaft is one of the greatest songs ever done, one of the greatest songs ever recorded. Just that one little lyric mistake drives me out of my mind.
Are you trying to apologize to Isaac Hayes now?
Well, no, what I'm trying to do is just tell the truth at the end, because all of a sudden, as I was talking about him having a baby boy, I was thinking that, you know, my son will probably be born in the next 24 hours, and the kind of joy I'm going to feel is a kind of joy that, no matter how much I make fun of Isaac Hayes, is the kind of joy he's feeling, and nothing could be better than that. So happy birthday, Nana Quojo Hayes, and we're waiting for you, Zoltan. Well, that's the next kid's name, by the way.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.